The best way in this speaking training industry of getting work is to do work. In other words, people have to see what you do. They have to be able to touch it. They have to be able to experience it. They have to be able to see the benefits and the value. And then my experience is the more work I do, the more work I get.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. I am super excited today to have a friend of mine on as a guest, Ryan Walter. I met Ryan several years ago at a Alpha Canada Golf Tournament, a fundraiser for the organization, and have gotten to know both him and his wife on a personal basis and on a business basis. And I'm going to share with you a little bit of Ryan's background so you get an idea of where he's coming from, where he is, and where he's heading to. So Ryan, if you're not familiar with him, played and coached 17 seasons of hockey, over 1,100 games in the NHL. He was drafted second overall by the Washington Capitals in 1978. He was named the youngest NHL captain in his second of four seasons and went on to play nine seasons with the Montreal Canadiens, winning a Stanley Cup in 1986, and then finally returned to his home to play his last couple of years for the Vancouver Canucks. He was named team captain in the World Junior Tournament and was selected to play the NHL All-Star Game in 1983 for Team Canada in three World Championships. He became the vice president of the National Hockey League Players Association and was honored as the NHL Man of the Year in 1992. Ryan's gone on to get his master's degree in leadership and business. He is the author of five books. He created a board game called Trade Deadline Hockey and Electronic Transfer Deadline. He is a regular contributor to both online print magazines, newspapers, radio, and TV. In addition, he co-founded and is the president of two startups, NHL and IIHF coach, a TV hockey broadcaster, a hockey advisor, an actor for both television and movies, and president of the Professional Hockey League. Ryan is a member of the board of directors of the Hockey Canada Foundation and sits on the Seton Hall Stillman School of Business Leadership Advisory Council. And he currently speaks and helps hundreds of companies and organizations, leveraging his experience in leadership as he relates that to team performance as a former hockey player. So Ryan, welcome to the show today. Is there anything that I've left out?
Thank you very much, Doug. That was painful having to listen through to all that, but happy to be with you.
Well, I knew, you know, you being such a humble guy, you like myself, you don't like to hear somebody going on and on, but that's just a short overview of a highlight reel, if you will, of what you've accomplished.
No, I'm very thankful, Doug. Thank you for sharing that with your listeners. And I'm always thankful of things that we've been able to accomplish in the past. But, you know, you and I, we've had lots of time together, and I love your podcast. I love this idea of what's, you know, what works today and what we think works in the future. And that's really the focus that I have in these days.
So where are you working today in your role in leadership and speaking to companies throughout the world? Can you share with our listeners a major breakthrough or some success you've had using a specific marketing tactic?
Yeah, for sure. And we are so thankful, Doug. We've just come off our best year ever. You know, we probably have connected with around 130 different sessions during the calendar year with companies. We have now about 750 clients, and I've just finished speaking to just over 800 CEOs over the last 3 years. So I want to share how we sort of got in front of these CEOs, because I think that's been our biggest marketing breakthrough for sure. What we did is we started to connect with a couple of organizations that were looking to add value to their group for a very low cost. And the first group in Canada is called TEC. So they're called the Executive Committee. And what TEC does is they have presidents and CEOs of companies that actually get together on a monthly basis to sort of work through their issues. But in the morning of that day, they have a speaker / trainer that comes in and gives a fresh perspective on, you know, a number of different areas of their business. So I got going and intentionally focused on TEC. We built a 3-hour presentation, very interactive. We focused on the 5 mindsets that the CEO's team or organization would either drift into or shift into. And then we actually allowed them to feel that, those 5 mindsets, through a process that we call Architect Builder, a little game we play. The reason I mention all of this is I've just finished just over 100 TEC sessions over the last 3 years, and that has been the prime marketing opportunity for our business. So if the CEO loves what you do, you don't go through HR, right? Like they call you up and you've got business. And we've generated, you know, the most business we've ever had through that connection. So we also, there's a group out of the U.S. called Vistage, and they are exactly the same group, TEC in Canada, Vistage in the U.S. And so now Jen and I, my wife and I, are doing a lot of speaking in the U.S. through this Vistage group. I think from a marketing point of view that anytime we can get our message, but not even our message, our actual product, if people can feel and taste and touch our product in a scenario where we can actually, and this is what happened to me, where we can actually let them experience it, that for me is the number one marketing opportunity. And that's what Vistage and TEC has given us.
So how did you get started? I mean, a lot of people, if you talk to them about speaking, they want to speak, they want to speak on stages. And I think maybe, I mean, you've done this for a long time and you work as a fee speaker as well. Maybe you want to start as a fee speaker, but it sounded to me like you got involved with TEC and really just had to roll up your sleeves and donate and put some of your time in there to get in front of the group and let them, like you said, experience your product. Is that what you're saying?
Totally. I think I started off at TEC at the $500 per session level, and my half-day sessions retail are $9,500. So we absolutely went into this as a marketing opportunity. I think the other thing is a lot of speakers feel that, well, that's a waste of my time. You know, I can't be booking 4 months out because I might, you know, I might end up getting a paid gig in that day 4 months out. But how Jenny and I looked at it as a way to add value to their companies, to the CEO's company through the, you know, the executive. And I think that that idea of adding value comes through the attitude, comes through the energy, comes through what we do. And I always say that the best way in this industry, and I'm not sure if this is true, Doug, across industries, but the best way in this speaking training industry of getting work is to do work. In other words, people have to see what you do. They have to be able to touch it. They have to be able to experience it. They have to be able to see the benefits and the value. And then my experience is the more work I do, the more work I get. So what we've tried to do. Yeah. And what we've tried to do, Doug, is make sure that, you know, if let's say, and you know this from you and I've worked together, if a golf tournament or if, you know, a local charity or if a hospital raising capital comes alongside, we really work hard to add value to anything that we can do in this industry. Not only are you going to meet people that would say, hey, I saw Ryan speak and he was terrific. Or, you know, you're going to just sharpen your craft every time. So as with all professionals, you know, when I was a professional hockey player, I didn't turn down a time to practice my craft. And I think that's right. True of the speaking and the training industry.
Isn't that a great analogy when you think of the great talents that the sports players have? We see them on TV or hear them on the radio, and we just miss all the years and years and years of practice just endlessly, and how they made that a priority in their life. Yet in business, we somehow feel that, well, I'm in business, so every time I do something, I should get paid. And there's really no thinking toward practice and giving back.
That's a great point. And don't mistake what I'm saying, and I know that you don't, but our listeners, if you can get paid for your business, go for it. And I get paid, we get paid very well for our business. Our half-day sessions, $9,500, our full-day sessions, $12,500. So we are very thankful, for that. But what we find is that if people don't get a chance to see the value that we're delivering, they won't pay $12,500. But once they see that, they will. And so it's really, the marketing opportunity is really getting your best and your best stuff in front of the exact market that you want to, spend your time in. And for us, Tech and Vistage do that. Finally, in this area of Tech and Vistage, this is a worldwide organization. So they have, the beauty is Jen, the vision that Jen and I have is to add value to leaders and grow leaders and leadership and team worldwide. Well, the Vistage group out of the US, they have arms in Britain, Australia, Asia, China. So as we end up doing a good job for them in the US, we see this as a way to sort of, continue our business worldwide.
Well, it's funny listening to you talk about the networking and the opportunity. Probably recognize who said this quote. And it's not what you know, it's who you know. So stop complaining and get to know the right people.
Very good.
Yeah. And, I remember Jim Jantz saying that because people go, well, it's all who you know. He says, well, then go get to know the right people. So, in your efforts with Tech and Vistage, obviously, you're doing that. And I'm thinking back to a conference that Heather and I were at not too long ago in the US in La Jolla with a guy by the name of Frank Kern. And Frank is well known in the direct marketing industry. And he talked about this new book that he's published, and he gives his book away. People said, well, why would you give it away? He says, well, I actually don't give it away. It's free plus shipping, but I pay $25 per book basically in advertising to convince someone to pay for the shipping. And then after they pay for the shipping and receive the book, he said they read the book, sample my basically, like you said, sample my product, and then they became customers. And when he shared with us his ROI, and it was just absolutely unbelievable. He built a business that does $500,000 a month within 6 months of giving his product away.
Wow, I love that idea, Doug. And I think somewhere, and you're the most amazing marketing guy that I know. I mean, somewhere between getting paid a lot and between, getting the message out, there's going to be some pain. I mean, we don't get the, I always say to people, I believe in vision, but I don't believe that if you just close your eyes and look for a, look at a Mercedes-Benz, do you get a Mercedes-Benz? There's a little pain in the middle there, right? Like there's got to be something that we're giving. And I think the idea about the give, and it might not be money, it could be value, it could be attention, it could be time. But in the early days, there's the give to get. And I we love this idea, and it was Robert Cialdini who, first taught me this biblical principle of reciprocity. You don't give to get, but when you get. And so his point was, and he's a PhD out of Phoenix that talks about influence. His point was give first. So in everything we do, the greatest marketing principle in my life is give first. And so I go into relationships, yep, as you do, thinking, how can I add value to these people, instead of thinking, how can they add value to me?
Yeah, the good point. I mean, this, they say you give what you want. If you want more money, you give money. If you want more love, you give love. It's just what you give comes back to you. But I want to go back to a point, and I'm going to bring in one of your books, because you talked about giving, and basically, you know, it's no different than your career in sports, where you have to work hard. Business is the same. But I remember reading about the time that you were injured. And, you know, I'm thinking of times when business owners stumble, or they have something doesn't go the right way, or they get physically sick. And I think back of listening to your story. So you can correct me if I miss part of this. It's been a while since I read your book, but you were injured. You were playing for the Montreal Canadiens. You had an upper body injury. And instead of sitting in the green room and watching the game, or sitting in the stands with your wife, I had read that you took an exercise bike and duct taped it upside down to a table in the training room. And you stood and pedaled the bike with your arms while watching the game to keep your physical shape up. And then when you weren't doing that, you were cheering on the team. And that was the reason that you kept up your physical ability and were able to play in the Stanley Cup game. Is that about sum up the effort that you put into that time when many people would have just kind of given up?
Yeah, Doug, I think you tell that story better than I do. That's awesome. In 1986, and I broke, it was actually my ankle. I broke my ankle with three games to go in that season. And so really, if you think about it, you know, in the next month and a half, I'm not going to heal that ankle enough to get back into the game. And yet early on, I just felt a real desire that if my team was going to work, I was going to work. And, you know, this wasn't going to be a time that I was going to take time off. And so I did that without knowing that, you know, heading into the Stanley Cup final, that the doctor, Eric Lentzner, the orthopedic surgeon, came to me and said, Ryan, I know you're in terrific shape. You know, you want to take an X-ray? And he held the X-ray up and he said, oh, darn. And there was a little crack and still a small crack in the ankle. And he said, well, I shouldn't say this as a doctor, but, you know, Ryan, do you want to try it? and he gave me a little bit of freezing and a little bit of taped up. And, you know, that practice, well, it didn't feel very good. Next practice felt better. Next practice felt better. And I was able to play in the last five games of the Stanley Cup final. And what really haunts me, Doug, and I'm sure that, you know, people often say that it's not the things that you do that you regret, it's the things that you don't do. And what haunts me about that opportunity is, what if I hadn't stayed hungry, right? Like, what if I hadn't decided to put the work in? You know, I would have never got a chance to play in a Stanley Cup final, because that, as it turns out, those were the only five games that I got to play in a Stanley Cup final. We got back to the Stanley Cup in 1989, but we lost to Calgary. So you're right. I mean, life teaches us that, you know, education's never wasted, work ethic's never wasted, you know, high focus is never wasted. So those are good lessons for me to remember.
Yeah, and I just remember that story because I know that, you know, life has its ups and downs, and businesses, you know, we've had good years and bad years. And it's just really about still putting in the effort and working hard when nobody's looking.
Yeah, that is so true. And I love your idea of when nobody's looking, because I think that that's the hardest part, you know, and we do a lot of work, as you know, in this area of mindset and energy, you know, staying hungry, you know, being part of a winning team. And I think that that is the hard part, what you just enunciated, is to be, you know, doing the hard work when nobody's looking, knowing long term that whether you get glory or not, that's not the issue. It's really how much value do we get a chance to add to people's lives. And I think that's the hard part, because that's where we've got to really stay hungry.
Well, I was at an event in Lake Tahoe once, and we were discussing business, and we're with a group of entrepreneurs, and somebody had asked me to speak on that topic, and I got thinking about, you know, being a business owner, and, you know, and people's sometimes the reluctance to sell their services. And this thought just came upon me and kind of struck me. And I thought, you know, for those people who won't ask for the sale, who are afraid to ask for the sale, the word that came to my mind was they're being selfish, because we've all been blessed with different gifts and talents. And if we believe our product or our service can serve people and make their life better and help them, and we know this, and we don't ask them to do business with us, then really we're just being selfish because for our own reasons. And I've just never been able to forget that when I meet somebody that, you know, if I know that I can help them, and I may say, hey, look, this is how I can help you. And if they say no or not now, I'm just not going to let up, because I know that what I can do can make their life better. And for each of us in our own businesses that are serving people, we need to not be embarrassed or ashamed. It's a business, and we trade money for our services and go out there and be bold and help people.
Yeah, I love that idea, Doug. I would use the same analogy, maybe even with a different word. My wife Jenny and I do a lot of work with leaders around this word ego. And you know, I come from testosterone dressing rooms, so I always think that ego is you know, thinking too much about myself. You know, I'm so good and everybody else isn't. But, you know, Jenny has really schooled me in this area. She said, you know, there's a second part of ego, and that is where we think too little about ourselves or of ourselves. And both sides of ego are self-focused and not team-focused or not value-focused. And I love that thought, because I think a lot of people, what holds them back is this idea that I could never sell a product, or I could never be part of a winning team, or you know, nobody's going to want what I sell, or there's all these thoughts that come into our minds. And, you know, I think that one of the key components to mental toughness in business and sport is that the thoughts we have are not always us, and we can choose our thinking. So, you know, I might have a thought and I might say, oh, that's a good thought, I'll take that one. And I might have another thought, but that thought might have come from a circumstance. And I might say, no, I'm not going to take that thought. I'm going to be disciplined, and I'm going to be focused where I get the highest return. And I think this area of mindset and of thinking really helps sharpen our way that, you know, of being able to, as you put it, you know, sell to people the things that are going to add value to them.
So speaking of mindset and going back to your story about working with tech and Vistage, so what do you think the biggest myth about this tactic is? So you're saying the opportunity was there for you to get in front of these organizations, to give your time and to get in front of people. So for our listeners who are thinking, hey, I've never really spoken to a big group, or I don't speak to anyone outside my company, what do you think the biggest myth is that they're holding as truth?
Well, I love that question. I think the myth that most speaker trainers or anybody that's sort of going to go after this marketing tactic, the biggest myth is that, you know, I don't receive enough value for the equation here. So, you know, my half day fee is $9,500. They're only going to pay me $500. You know, what's that about? And here's the gap that I was able to close as Jen and I sort of talked about the opportunities. What we do, Doug, and this is, we learned this from you and Heather, is we actually now have an evaluation form that I give away a free e-newsletter on performance and leadership to the group. But I ask them to fill out the form at the end of the session. So I get permission, Canadian permission. I get their name, I get their email, I get their permission. But then I ask them also to give me a little evaluation, 1 to 10, you know, how much value did you feel that added? And then below that, I have 4 little boxes that they can check. You know, I'd love Ryan to come in and work with my team. I'd love Ryan to help develop my leaders. And what that sheet does, Doug, is it allows me to really stay focused from a marketing point of view. If somebody wants our information and, you know, our e-newsletter on leadership, the beauty is I get to stay in front of 800 CEOs on a monthly basis. And what I found is you got to find a way to stay in front of people, and it's got to be full of value. But number two is it already, and you're brilliant at this, that sheet of paper already hones my funnel. And so if somebody checks off, I want Ryan to come in and work with my team, the next week I'm sending an email to set up the telephone call that sets up the potential opportunity for a purchasing, a product. And that has been, I think, the greatest step that we've been able to learn in this area. So now someone might say, well, you know, instead of $9,500, I'm only getting $500. But the way we look at it is that's not the equation. The equation is that we get a chance to add value to people's lives and also have them inform us that they would be interested in our product and gives us permission in, you know, it's really emotional permission to come into their life and to come into their business and to follow up with them. So that, I think that has been the track that has allowed us to fill the gap between the myth and the tactic.
Well, that's really cool because I think of it in a different way. So, if you consider going to networking groups or joining various associations or traveling abroad to seminars where the industry leaders are there, those all you write a check for each of those. And so what you've got is an opportunity to get in front of your ideal target audience who are CEOs. And yes, the pay is not what you'd normally get. But if you compare it to the other situation where you may be in a networking event or a mastermind, you may have paid tens of thousands of dollars to be in a mastermind. They may not be your ideal clients and you've paid to be there. But in this case, you're getting paid to deliver it's not an advertising message, but you're really showcasing, I think, your product while you're adding value, which is super cool.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do, Doug. I learned early in business that to never give out business cards. I learned early in business to always ask people for their business card. And I think that principle has been so powerful. So if I was to give every one of these CEOs my business card, they would forget about me. They'd put that card in the drawer and 10 months down the road, they might say, oh yeah, that guy was pretty good. But when I get their information with permission to contact them, that is the power of marketing.
Yep, absolutely. Stay in touch. I mean, it's funny because when I would go to networking events and I do exactly what you said, I play a little game and my game was how many business cards could I collect without having to give out any? Knowing that, like you said, people are focused on themselves and they really don't want my business card. And then I would reach out and send them a letter, a personal letter, hand address it, hand sign it, and basically just to add value. Hey, it was great to meet you at such and such an event. I enjoyed learning about your business. If there's ever, an opportunity for us to get together, collaborate, be happy to do that. And what really surprised me was how many people phoned me and thanked me as if I had sent them a wonderful gift and all I had done is send them a letter with no pitch, no brochure, no business card saying it was just great to connect. And that really lets me know that the opportunity that people want to have a deeper relationship with you before they do business with you is there. And I still look at the events that I go to and the number of handwritten notes that I get or don't get and wonder why people aren't taking such a simple approach and leveraging that to grow their business.
Love that idea.
So moving forward, what are you most excited about as it relates to your business and where you see marketing opportunities for a small business in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, I think that in general, face-to-face relationships are always, the core. I mean, you know, Jenny and I will continue to do that. We'll continue to stay in front of people, develop relationships, find ways to add value. But one of the things that we're excited about is sort of, and you're very good at this, Doug, and I've got lots to learn in this area, is sort of the online opportunity, not only to market our products and services, but also then to actually deliver our products and services online. And we have, you know, I wouldn't say we've been slow adopters. We do lots online, but we've stayed very focused on growing our business, you know, with this tactic that we have that's working. So I think that that for us is going to be the next stage, the next step. The one thing that we're going to do over the next 4 to 5 years, where we're going to work this tactic very hard, is we're building a database. You know, we're building a database of CEOs and presidents of companies across North America and the world. And then we're going to find ways to ethically leverage that database to upsell or resell businesses on products that we'll build personally that they need. And so I think that those two pieces sort of go hand in glove. And that's the excitement that we see in the next little bit, is to be able to re-leverage some of the, you know, the great contacts that we've been able to make for our next products.
That's really cool. Yep. I've heard it said often before. You probably heard the same thing. The money's in the list. And so, yeah, but it's more than just a list. You need to communicate and add value to the list moving forward. So a couple of questions for you before we wrap up. Who's one guest that you think I absolutely have to have on my podcast?
I was looking at this question and I was thinking about it a lot. I've met so many amazing people over the last little bit. But I think there's a guy that I think you would love, and his name is Jeff Williams. And Jeff is out of Surrey, British Columbia. And Jeff runs a company that helps car dealerships sell cars. And he does this worldwide, and it's his business. And he's a kid from Victoria, BC, who has taken a business global. And I just think you would love Jeff, because he had to, a little bit like you, Doug, he had to start from humble beginnings. He had to start from the grassroots up, you know, and he's developed an amazing business. He's got a brilliant heart. He's actually has a huge charity arm to his business, where he's helping orphans and babies down in Guatemala. He's just done some amazing stuff. So the guy's name is Jeff Williams. I mean, I've got lots of other people, but I think he's the one guy that you and your guests on this show would love.
Okay, well, we'll have to track them down. And so, Ryan, share with our listeners, what are the best ways for people to find you on or offline?
Yeah, thanks, Doug. Number one way is just ryanwalter.com. So ryanwalter, no S, .com. Second way is very simple. It's ryan@ryanwalter.com. And, I give you my cell number. Nobody will remember it, but directly 604-996-4446. Would love to find ways to add value to the people that are listening.
Awesome. Thanks so much. So listeners, make sure you check out the show notes. We'll have links to Ryan's websites, his leadership training, his books, products, and services, as well as his phone number. So you'll catch all that in the show notes. So thanks again, Ryan. It was really great to catch up to you in between your many trips and travels. And thanks for sharing your knowledge and insight with our listeners today.
Thanks for your great podcast and your great program, Doug.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time. We look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.